I am beyond thrilled to be able to introduce my dear friend and colleague and mentor, and she is an amazing person. Who here has heard Anna Kabeca speak before? Woohoo! Right? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. She probably doesn't need much introduction, but she's so amazing. She heard your name. She is an OBGYN. She's board certified in integrative medicine, anti-aging and regenerative medicine, bioidentical hormones. She's a successful menopause expert. She's the creator of Mighty Maca. Who loves Mighty Maca? Woohoo! And Jalva. Who knows about Jalva? Jalva, cool stuff, right? And she also just recently received another award. And this is an award that only three female physicians have ever gotten, and all the others have been, you know, really the male hard driver guys, right? So she was thrilled to be getting this award. It's the Alan P. Mintz Award for Excellence in Age Management Medicine. Woohoo! Congratulations. It's thrilling. So without further ado, let's give her a big round of applause. You are in for a treat. Come on out.
Thank you. Thank you.
And she's going to draw.
We're going to draw
something that she's donating, and you can tell them all about it.
Yeah, so we start with a wonderful drawing for Mighty Maca with our stainless steel shaker cup, that's awesome, and our urine test strips that measure pH and ketones, and of course our little martini stirring spoon, gotta have that. And so, all right, so I just pulled this one out.
All right,
let me see. Hold on, let me read the number here. So the last three is, well, the last four are 2270. 151 2270. Our Mighty Maca Elixir Special.
Nope.
Nope. Do we draw another one? Okay, here we go. The lucky winner has been wanting this. Ends in 420. 420. 420. All right, yes. Now, watch out for him tonight. All right. Put this here. Okay.
All right.
And now we have this other beautiful basket. And well, if he wins this again, y'all, watch out. This is our Hormone Harmony Bundle. So it has our Pure Balance PPR cream, which has progesterone and pregnenolone and essential oils. It's amazing. And a full tube of Jalva for 60 nights of sensual pleasure. Yes, this is the anti-aging feminine cream for the vulva. Jalva stands for joyful vulva. Yes. And my restorative health book. And plus, in here, we have this is our Hormone Harmony Bundle, a 15-minute phone consult with me, and a copy of the book. This is an over $210 value. So that's awesome. All right, let's see who wins this.
Who wins it. Okay, if you want this, just send your energy out here as she's picking. She'll feel your energy and the ticket energy.
All right, number 280. 280. No. Woo! Yay! Congratulations!
Right. 8-0, you got it. Wait. Oops.
Oh, two winners.
All right, I'm going to let you have the intense pleasure of having Dr. Anna Kabeca speak to you for the next hour. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. So I'm super excited to be here, honored. You may know me as a groupie of Dr. Rita Marie's, and we have known each other for quite a long time now, and I'm really honored to be on the stage. This is I really have narrowed back my scope of lecturing to take care of my kids, my youngest being 9 and my oldest being 29. And so with 4 girls, it was crazy, especially these last teenage years, as I really hope to get a couple of them off to college, and they are. Thank you, God. And so it's been, this is one of my favorite things. When Rita Marie said, you know, invited me, I really, again, honored to be here, plus to meet you and to talk with you and to hear your stories as well. So I hope there's something here today that will inspire you, too, that you can bring into your own life personally as well as into your practices professionally. So our topic is food as medicine for hormone balance and women's sexual health, and we're going to talk about the innocent bystander to gut health issues, and I will tell you who that is in a moment. But again, it's really important. I'm not going to go so much. You guys have had tons of looking through what you've reviewed over these intense days of education, a lot of food, but I'll summarize some key points at the end for Monday morning practice. So our IP statement, I know there was an attorney in here yesterday. I just want to show you my IP statement again. Gotta love that. So learning objectives. So at the conclusion of this activity, what I would love for you to be able to do is understand the importance of the innocent bystander to gut health issues, and that is the your vulvovaginal health. So we'll talk about the vaginal microbiome and also be able to integrate options in therapeutic interventions and discuss restorative vaginal or vulvar treatment options, both hormonal and non-hormonal. Okay. So some key points that we're going to talk about is gut and sexual health, the gut and sexual health connection, and it's not many people put that two and two together, but it's so vitally important. Also, nutritional fundamentals for sexual health, and that sexual health is a lot more than about just sex, okay? So whether we're sexually active or not. And I'll give you three concrete steps to improving vaginal health. Now, what I love to talk about is how important vagina is essential for life. And not too long ago at one of our age management medicine conferences, I had our entire audience, 90% male, say, "My vagina is essential for life." Yes. But it's not just me saying this, which I love this. Here, Rita Marie said, I love the geeky colleagues and trends in microbiology, which I love these people. Eunice et al. Said, the origins of many diseases are hugely influenced by the health of the mother. And as friendly and unfriendly microbes clearly play a major role, it seems astounding that research funding from governments and non-governmental granting agencies is alarmingly sparse and still far from being a priority. It is unacceptable that no breakthroughs have occurred in managing bladder and vaginal infections in over 40 years. Furthermore, the sole and unrelenting use of untargeted antimicrobial agents or unnecessary medical interventions for treating and managing these microbial-related conditions suggests that the well-being of women is not important. We counter that. Without reproductive health, there would be no humanity to make such decisions. And thus, we must start prioritizing the female microbiome. Say amen to that, right? Right. So, and I would love to claim this quote as my own, but this is totally represents my motto. The human vagina is an underappreciated organ that is not merely a passageway for vaginal discharge, menses, sperm, and neonates, but can profoundly affect the health of generations. Right? Yes. I know, this is beautiful. So that is so important, and this is shocking when we see that not much has changed in over 40 years, where we're coming into some realization with the increase in autism, neonatal cancers, immunologic diseases. The sad thing is that we're starting to recognize the importance of the vaginal microbiome. And in our OB, as a trained obstetrician and gynecologist, in our obstetric world, we didn't recognize the importance of vaginal seeding, of the vaginal microbiome. We sterilized and, just really created an unnatural environment for our babies to be born from. So creating the more natural environment is really, really important. I mean, the pendulum swings from the time of Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis, who was the father of antimicrobial therapy, who is an Austrian physician. And his life story is amazing. If you like biographies, really read about Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis. But all he was saying, he went basically crazy because what he saw was the women from the midwives had less purpural fever, died less than the physician academic, doctoral students' deliveries. And so he said, well, they go from what happened was the academic institutions, the medical residents, would go from autopsy, go from the cadaver lab into delivering, and they had such a high rate of puerperal fever. So all he said was, wash your hands. And he got ostracized from the medical community. He got ostracized from Austrian society. He was considered a, you know, just a crazy man. And it was very, very sad. And I think some of you who are in the medical profession may feel like you are going against the grain because all you're saying is something similar to wash your hands, or as the pendulum has swung, let's honor our probiotics, right? Let's honor our microbiome. We go against the grain. And I think for me, receiving this award from Age Management Medicine, recognizing that my pursuit of clinical excellence for the outcome of the patients, despite what insurance companies wanted me to do, despite what, you know, big pharma wanted me to do, made a difference in the lives of individual clients, but also in the lives of practicing physicians who could take these pearls, which I'm going to share with you today too, some of these pearls, and implement them into your practice and remind you why you went into medicine to begin with, or why that healing, you know, who that healer is, and really to honor that intuitive art of medicine, the intuitive art of medicine, which is such a big, important factor. So bringing that into your lives is so important, and that's why I feel so passionate about what Rita Marie is doing here and her programs, because the best of both worlds, the integrative, functional neuroendocrinology, I mean the endocrinology aspects and nutritional aspects, but also how to deliver your message and get it out there. And that's profoundly important because we want you to seed the next generations with really good health, right? So that's important. So let's talk about the healthy vagina. So we have to consider that the vaginal pH is acidic. Different parts of our body have different pH. But for the vagina, it's a normal healthy vagina is acidic, so 3.5 to 4.5. The flora is predominantly lactobacilli. There are multiple strains, and I've listed those here. Typically, Crispatus, Gasseri, Eners, Jenseni, and I don't know if I really pronounced that right, but sounds good. I just want to say it with an accent. Lactobacillus Crispatus. Okay. So these are the four key predominant ones, but there are many strains, multiple strains. And then their vaginal, healthy vagina has secretions. We have glandular secretions. We have secretions from the uterus, the fallopian tubes, the cervix. I mean, all that makes sense. The walls of the vagina. So, that's all part of it. Exfoliated cells and our glandular secretions are all part of healthy vaginal tissue. Rita Marie and I were talking, we're like, you guys get worried about giving your message and we get nervous and like our knees shake before we go on stage, and I think my thumb is just vibrating extra and I'm skipping ahead slides. So this is just, we're starting to look, again, this is trends in microbiology, but the importance of bacteria on the health of the vagina, on the immune system of the vagina. I mean, really, immunology, I mean, this is important. It's a pathway to overall health in our body. It's not disconnected. If we're feeling disconnected from our vagina, we have work to do. Yes, guys, you too. Okay. So we have to be really, consider that there's a lot more to it than childbearing, right? There's a lot more to the importance of a healthy vagina. What's the main reason people are being put into nursing homes? By their loving, caregiving family? Incontinence, right? Incontinence. And so, I would love to see that eliminated, but that's from loss of musculature, loss of healthy secretions, loss of the elasticity, the normal ability to also prevent pathogens from coming into the bladder walls as well. So very important that the mucosal layer helps with integrity and that lactobacilli is populating in the vaginal tissue. Now, I have done tens of thousands, seriously, of microbial examinations of slides. We call them wet mount slides as a gynecologist, looking at amniotic fluid, looking at semen, looking at vaginal secretion. And so until recently, with all, understanding how important vaginal probiotics are, a healthy vaginal microbiome is, not really having recognized that when I saw those really atrophic vaginal slides, and it didn't have to be in anyone menopausal, but with few bacteria, few lactobacilli, that was a red flag. That should have been a red flag for me. And so it's important to know that that's important for modulating our immune response. All right. So there are also hormonal changes in the peri and postmenopause that affect the health of the vagina. We have declining hormone levels, and the key ones that we know about are estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA. And so those are our key hormones that start to decline. DHEA starting to decline in our 20s, our 30s, progesterone dropping, and a slow, steady decline of estrogen and testosterone. We see atrophic thinning of the lining and decreased musculature. There becomes an increase in the vaginal pH to be more alkaline, more predisposed to bacterial infections like bacterial vaginosis or bacterial vaginitis. There's a decline in glycogen levels, so the cell membrane structure is impaired, and there's a decrease in the normal bacteria flora. And this can have devastating consequences on the health of the vagina, but also the health of the relationship. So, you know, right? Gotta just say it. Go down a water slide while it isn't wet, and then you'll understand why foreplay is so important, right? And it starts with breakfast, like coffee in bed in the morning, right? Okay. So this is an image of vaginal atrophy. This, you know, we say an image, you know, takes the place of 1,000 words, and I don't think it does in my case, but... We'll add those 1,000 and 2,000 words on top of this image. But you can see here the comparison between the healthy vaginal tissue, the elasticity, the rugation, the normal folds. I mean, our vaginal canal is able to expand healthfully to deliver a baby. And so we have that elasticity. We have the muscle walls, and we have healthy blood vessels in the deeper tissues. And this is so critically important. Somehow we forget about that as gynecologists. We're like, okay, just take estrogen. Well, estrogen only works on the mucosal layer. Vaginal estrogen only works on the mucosal layer, that first layer. It's doing nothing for the muscles, right? But what do we know? What hormones, the receptors, there's intrinsic receptors in the vaginal walls that support androgens, testosterone, DHEA. The vagina has muscles. If we want a body build, our muscles, we want good adrenals. We want good natural production of testosterone. And if not, what are our bodybuilders doing? Anabolic steroids, right? So we have to consider that the vagina has this beautiful musculature that somehow has been neglected for history. But we do have it. And as the uterus and the ovaries start to atrophy as we get older, the ovaries, and I will mention this, the ovaries have an important role in our life cycle. We know that if we remove ovaries in someone less than 65 years old, they have a significantly increased risk of cardiovascular disease and morbidity and mortality. So our postmenopausal ovaries still have a purpose. They still have a role, and it's honored in this whole neuroendocrine system that, you know, we balance in this health. So pretty cool, right? You can see this. You can see why as we age, certainly there's that normal process, but it's not a necessarily a healthy process. We want to keep the vaginal tissue healthy through exercising, pelvic floor exercising, Kegel exercises. And I have a great video on my website that shows the right way to do Kegel exercises. If we have time, I'll show y'all later. No. So, we want to keep exercising these muscles from the day, you know, from, I will say, from the first pregnancy or before till we die. It's important to have healthy vaginal muscles. And so that's critically important that we do that. But also because of incontinence and because we're living older and we want to live older, healthier, we want to honor our aging as naturally as possible and use what we can do, you know, to improve that as much as possible. So, of course, exercise, nutrition, and supplementation when we need it, and bioidentical hormones when we need it. So we can avoid the seven dwarves of menopause, you know, and I think I've had all of these at one time, oops, or another. So our itchy, witchy, sweaty, sleepy, bloated, forgetful, and moody. Can anyone relate to any or all of these at some point or another? You know, we say hot flashes will typically decline as we get older, but I've known women who've had hot flashes for 10 to 20 years. That's a symptom of an imbalance, so we want to address that, right? And unfortunately, incontinence will get worse unless it's treated and addressed. And we want to do that as non-surgically as possible. So I think this is an important slide to bring up here. It's one of my, was my realization. And I got so angry when I thought about it. But I was like, man, we were just brainwashed as kids. Who knows this commercial? Did anyone know the Anjali commercial? I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget you're a man because I'm a woman. Anjali. I know my kids don't let me sing. But I get to do that here. So this is, you see the image of the woman making breakfast, frying up eggs and bacon, serving her kids, kissing her honey, giving him lunch. As he goes out to the door, then she gets dressed up in her business suit. She's going out, out to work, bring home tons of money, flying dollar bill, $100 bills flying everywhere, comes home. All the kids are in bed, puts on a negligee, and she's ready to have hot sex with her husband. So who, what gets checked off that, what does not get checked off that list, right? That hot sex with your husband. So, this is like, the Anjali phenomena is when men in America were out buying perfume and, women were brainwashed to think that they can, do it, you can do it all, just not at the same time. And missing in this brainwashing commercial was was like a chauffeur, a cook, a maid, right? A personal assistant. We had a lot of people missing in this scenario, So there's, there are many hands. It takes a village to raise a family, right? And a lot more to it than Anjali. But anyway, if I could have that today. So we can have it all, but just not at the same time. So these are images of me that was in my late 30s, 39. And I share these with you for validity, a little bit about my story. Not pretty to share. I wouldn't put these on a dating profile. But but significant hair loss, not thyroid-induced hair loss, but stress-induced hair loss. Testosterone converts via 5-alpha reductase to dihydrotestosterone with high cortisol levels in times of stress. We had significant stress. I had significant stress. So this male pattern hair loss that you can see in this picture was that. So when, understanding, again, what was going on, the weight loss resistant, the inflammation, the hormone imbalance, the adrenal fatigue, the burnout, that was my story. That was my story. And, overworking, overweight, depressed, trauma. So chronically, I don't talk so much about the cortisol-oxytocin disconnect, but chronically stressed. And then being able to share, part of my life journey, my medical journey, was recognizing that when I was diagnosed with premature ovarian failure at 39, completely irreversible menopause, told at 39 that we would never be able to have another child, that was it, menopausal, ovarian failure, FSH out the roof, just give it up. And then being able to, I took a life journey. I took a year off my practice. A beautiful Dr. Deborah Shepherd came and took over my practice, an angel sent her for sure, and I went around the world. That's part of my journey, is understanding healing modalities. As a physician, I wanted to be a physician at age 6. I wanted to help people, right? And so for me, that healer was translated into being a medical doctor. But I went into my journey with a non-discriminative attitude. So traditional medicine, oriental medicine, herbal medicine, whatever it is, that was part of the journey, non-discriminating against ways of healing. And that impacted me so much that I was able to, restore the health of my physical body. And I became pregnant at age 42 with the child I was told I would never going to be able to have. And if any of you were here last year, you saw her. You saw my Ava Marie. Ava Marie, named after the Blessed Mother. Ava Marie is my blessing, and you see her here in this picture. And so definitely my miracle child, but also reversed menopause. And so stress is a big causal factor in premature menopause, our trauma for sure. But stress and chronic stress and, you know, toxic stress and endocrine disruptors, all of those things can pile up and have havoc with your neuroendocrine system. So with this, I was really passionate about helping my patients recover their health, no matter what their diagnosis was, because their diagnosis was just, you know, I mean, a label on symptoms that had underlying causes that you all are learning about in this program that you learn about. So getting to those points are really important. Now, as a sexual health expert, when I first came into medical practice, you know, I trained at Emory University in Atlanta, and I came via National Health Service Corps to a small shrimping village in southeast Georgia where I continue to live today. And one of my first patients, I'll share a story because this is someone that is probably in your life or you know clients like her. So she came in my office, and she's like this, you know, gray-haired, silver, gorgeous, statuesque woman. You know, she's 5'10", 155 pounds, short silver hair. And she had a history. She came in at age 64 of ductal carcinoma in situ, diagnosed at Emory and treated and evaluated and was told no hormone therapy. Well, she came to my office. She heard I was coming to southeast Georgia where she lived. And she said, "Doc, I'm a woman. I have no sex drive. My vagina is dry as a desert, and I'd rather die than live this way. You know, my husband and I haven't had relationships, and it hurts, and I just rather die than not feel like a woman, not feel the sensuality that I did." A physical examination, she had vulvar atrophy, clitoral atrophy, loss of nerve sensation, and so that was significant. So I was like, okay, sure. I trained at Emory. I can help you. So I looked at my doctor's bag, and I looked, and I looked. I didn't have anything in there for her. I'm like, all right. Well, so I went to the research. I was a researcher for the U.S. Navy before I went to medical school, and I researched the exercise physiology. So I love research. And so I went to the research. Well, lo and behold, I found out that I could use androgen safely. And even vaginal estrogen, clients with breast cancer who were on vaginal estrogen had decreased morbidity and mortality. This is 20 years ago. This is 1999. This is one of the first patients I saw in my medical practice. And so I could find this research. So like, how cool is that? Man, I can do this. All right, so I looked, so okay, let me run some labs, and I ran some labs. And so here were her labs. Her estrogen was less than 20, progesterone was less than 1, her testosterone was 0. The laboratory read testosterone as normal. So I was like, huh, there must be a difference between normal labs and optimal labs. Do you think? So we just didn't have the technology at that time to test sensitive levels of testosterone in women. We had the man's ranges, so our testing was not so sensitive. So it's important to understand the optimal range versus the normal range. So I started creating my own optimal ranges, and I looked at the research. Well, what is optimal for a woman? How do we need to test her testosterone? And that started the journey. I looked at sex hormone binding globulin. I looked at DHEAS, right? All those were within normal limits, but none of them were optimal. I mean, none of them were optimal, and none of them were flagged in her labs. So don't just look for that red H or that blue low or whatever that is. Don't look for that. Look for the optimal levels. That's important. You guys get that, right? How important that is. So, and then I always tell my patients when I would explain it, you know, do you want your normal labs or do you want optimal labs? Normal, go sit outside of Walmart. 8 out of 10 of those people walking in and out, 8 out of 10 of us are your normal comparisons. Do we want to be normal? Normal, we want to be optimal. Like 70% of us are overweight. Do we want to be normal or do we want to be optimal? So think about our normal comparisons. Yes, and I shop at Walmart. We have a Walmart. We just got a Target in our area. We're very excited. Okay. So I started her with estrogen vaginal cream. I started her on a sublingual testosterone. I started her on progesterone cream. And we start, you know, that was starting the journey and using bioidentical hormones safely. So she is my oldest, longest patient on bioidentical testosterone that I had personal clinical experience with. So at her 10-year follow-up, I followed her, of course, more often than once every 10 years, you know. But at her 10-year follow-up, she came in, she's on crutches. I'm like, what the heck happened? Because I was skiing black slopes in Colorado. Pretty awesome. Yep, she's still lobbying on Capitol Hill. Very astute woman. So this was her 74-year follow-up. I followed her estrogen detoxification ratio. Again, someone with a history of DCIS, even though it's not breast cancer, I would address that as if and follow up estrogen detoxification, especially my older clients on hormone replacement therapy. So estrogen detoxification, followed up with a salivary test at this point. Everything was, DHEA was low, cortisol was low. I started on DHEA and greens and maca, the maca greens, of course, and alkalinizing support, and added some nutritional supplementation, vitamin D. Let's, you know, she had an injury with her bones. Let's improve, optimize the testosterone, optimize the DHEA, optimize vitamin D with K. We always do vitamin D K combination. So those little things to fine tune. And yeah, last I heard, she's still lobbying on Capitol Hill. So she's doing great. Now, this is another client. Her name's Vicky, and she's very interesting because she came in with vaginal pain to see me. And she was on many medicines, like, you know, statin medicine, tramadol, aspirin daily. She was only on vaginal estrogen 2 times a week, no other hormone replacement therapy. And she had significant issues and difficult control with migraines, high cholesterol, high triglycerides, and reflux. Her surgical history was an abdominal hysterectomy and removal of the left ovary at age 30 for endometriosis and ovarian cyst. And at age 55, she had a cystocele and rectocele repair, which is an anterior and posterior repair, which for relaxation, so she'd had a hysterectomy years prior. So 25 years before, she had prolapse, relaxation or herniation of the anterior wall of the vagina and the posterior wall of the vagina. So the rectum pockets in, the bladder pockets in, and so it creates pressure, discomfort, sometimes bladder leakage. And she had a procedure done to help support that, and including a proline suture, non-dissolvable suture, to help support that surgical repair. So when I examined her, I did her lab work, her hormones, her thyroid, and, you know, so in just looking at this, so we can look at a TSH was suboptimal, free T3 was suboptimal, triglycerides were way high for her, and I did thyroid antibodies as well. On vaginal examination, significant atrophy. She's on the vaginal estrogen, but significant atrophy, paleness of the vaginal mucosa, diminished clitoral size, and I could feel the suture that was palpable through the vaginal wall. And so she was having pain every time she had, you know, her husband tried to have sex. She had significant pain from pressure against this suture pulling. And she had, on physical examination, fibrocystic breasts. So I was like, okay, well, here we have a patient with suboptimal thyroid. She's on medicine for migraines, cholesterol, and, you know, I know all her hormones were low. If you're on a statin therapy, your testosterone's going to be driven down. Your sex hormones are going to be driven down. And so take that into consideration. So I put her on vaginal suppository. And this is over a decade and a half ago when I worked with Vicky, but started using prescribing vaginal hormone therapy. And I combined a bioidentical regimen into her vaginal suppositories, wetted in emu oil, which I found absorbed the best for patients in delivering the hormone and really healing the vaginal tissue. I put her on iodine to support her thyroid and her fibrocystic breast, as well as omegas and krills to help with the mucosal layer of the vagina. We need essential fatty acids in our vaginal health, as well as intestinal health, cardiovascular health, etc. So omegas were very important. And then I followed her back up I say 2-month follow-up. She actually saw me in our little airport on the way to Brunswick. So she saw me in Atlanta. We're at the Atlanta airport. I was coming back from somewhere. And she's like, Dr. Kubeka, oh my gosh, you've given me the best orgasms in my life. You want someone to tell you that, right? Maybe not in the middle of an airport and they're like, she's your doctor? You gotta love that, right? So, but not only that, her migraines went away. She felt frisky again. And when I examined her on physical examination, that suture was no longer palpable. Now, me as a surgeon, I was disappointed. I was looking forward to a surgery. You know, I wanted good tissue to suture back. That was my reasons for using vaginal hormones. I wanted good condition. So when I operated, I wasn't going to have the statistics of mesh erosion or a failed urinary incontinence procedures. I didn't want those numbers. I didn't want that. I was the healer of those things, the repairer. But lo and behold, the more I got to be an expert in using bioidentical hormones, vaginal hormones, functional medicine, I had to do fewer and fewer surgeries. I mean, one day I did 6 sling procedures, but followed them up with vaginal hormone therapy. Then I started using hormone therapy before I would do the procedure, and the patient would come back with no incontinence symptoms. Unfortunately for me, I didn't have to operate. Good thing, right? Good thing for the patient. That's huge, y'all. That is huge. That is so important. But it doesn't matter if you've had that procedure. We can still support needing a recurrent procedure or having complications for the procedures. So I'm passionate about getting this information to urologists too. And that was part of my reason, which, you know, as a, you know, gynecologist and you know, having retired my practice to get that work-life balance and raise my children and get them off to college, I wanted to find an over-the-counter way to help with supporting vulvar and vaginal atrophy. And so that's why I created Jolva, my product that y'all have gotten samples of. So it goes, there's a lot more to a normal sexual function than our hormones, right? We know there's a lot more than testosterone to normal sexual function. You know, I was just lecturing on testosterone for women in Tucson. And it's not a linear curve, you know, it's very more so for men, but for women, the higher your testosterone doesn't mean the higher your libido. So there's other aspects to sexual health that are so important. So we need good overall health, right? We have to be healthy versus tired, worn out. We need hormones balanced. We need the ability to communicate desires and to be comfortable with our body and to have an interest in sex, to be arousable, to have adequate vaginal lubrication, and to be able to achieve orgasm. So those are part of what contributes to normal sexual function. And so obviously not easy to do in a 5-10 minute office visit with your gynecologist, right? So that's why I created a sexual CPR program to help with that, to address these 7 areas of sexual health that all take into account our ability to tap into that feminine sexy, to have that feminine energy really blossom and flourish throughout our lives, and in a very healthy, holistic way. So addressing these 7 keys to sexual health, to overall health, right? It's the same. And then going into psychological causes of sexual dysfunction, because if someone's coming to you as your coach, as your healthcare provider with libido issues, I mean, these are questions that are important to ask, addressing the underlying psychological issues. Has there been abuse? What were their ideas about sex as they were raised? What were their earliest sexual messages? You know, what are their religious and cultural beliefs? How is the relationship with their partner? And are they able to communicate their needs? Some things are very present and some things are very past when we are looking at the psychological aspects of sexual health that are a delicate issue to be addressed. And in my program, we go into this, as well as for my patients and during sexual CPR, I give a 3-page assessment just on this background, just trying to tease out these 7 areas to bring to our awareness what could be affecting us in our sexual health, in our relationships, and that goes far beyond our intimate partner. So other physical reasons are inflammatory diseases, elevated cholesterol, or being on a statin medication, history of pelvic surgery, history of episiotomy or childbirth trauma, and any trauma can affect our sexual health. Okay, and then other physical reasons, fatigue, headaches, pain, medication. Medications certainly are, you know, we see a lot is hydrochlorothiazide that we use, you know, for edema, beta blockers or for blood pressure, increased, anything that brings up sex hormone binding globulin like birth control pills. I mean, it makes sense if you're on birth control pills that you won't have that natural increase in testosterone at time of ovulation. So that will be a cause of sexual dysfunction. And then other medications. This I think this research is so important because so many people are being forced by their insurance companies or the drug companies to put people on statins. And there's just, so cholesterol is not the bad guy, right? We need, there are all kinds of cholesterol. Cholesterol is the mother of all our hormones. And this research, looking at 3,500 men out of Italy, Dr. Corona made the association between those who are on statin medications had significantly lower testosterone levels. So it's, the same is true in women. So important to understand. Now, there's our natural changes in hormones with a decline in progesterone from age 35 to 40. We start to see that shift. Very steep, and sometimes estrogen, we see the estrogen dominant symptoms from that. We see testosterone insufficiency, especially with stress, chronic stress, daily stress. I mean, we've had two hurricanes in 1 year in St. Simons Island. I had 5 moves from the time I was here last year to this year. 5 moves because of hurricane damage and then mold issues and mold toxicity. I'm finally back in my own house for a couple months, and then Hurricane Irma came. And our yard was devastated, but our house was dry and we were good. A few things here, a few things there. So we've actually taken in another family from who was displaced from the floods. And they're staying with us, and it's really been a blessing, a single mom and 2 kids. And I'm a single mom at home with 2 kids. So it's worked out really well. But so there's different stress levels, good and bad stresses, that we take into account that can really affect us. Thyroid hormones, DHEA, history of childhood trauma can really impair our menopause. And this is important. You'll see patients, or you may yourself have experience, you're doing great, but then menopause hits and there's like, you know, the crisis situation, not doing well, feeling anxious, really having a hard menopause. And that's associated with trauma. We see it in our veterans. It's associated with PTSD. We've got that natural dip in progesterone, and that's neuroprotective to the brain. So all of a sudden we're feeling crazy, maybe doing crazy things. And we have to understand that that's a consequence, and we need to balance that out with progesterone, et cetera. So our hormones, this is an illustration of hormones level that are changing as we age, because we really do want to have a long life that's healthy. And I always say, when I'm celebrating my, you know, 100th birthday with my honey, I want us to still have a twinkle in our eye, a skip in our step, you know, just to really feel connected still, right? We want to just be enjoying life and ideally having generations that we've helped and raised surrounding us that love and honor and respect us. So we want to see that versus this. All right. And we want to balance hormones. Now, as a gynecologist, I love to think that estrogen, progesterone, testosterone are our major hormones. But, you know, unfortunately, they're not. Our major hormones are insulin, cortisol. Those are 2 key major hormones. And I'll give you the third, which I really love. But when we think about our stress hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, but they're big players. Cortisol and insulin. That's why we want to get keto alkaline in our nutrition plans. That's why this aspect, the blood spot program, the sweet spot. Gotcha. There was a brain twist there. So sweet spot program, that is so important because you are conquering insulin. As you get more alkaline, you help your body reset circadian rhythm with key principles, but also address the cortisol issue. So it's important. So cortisol and insulin, hugely important. Really, our minor hormones are important. I mean, these are really good, but oxytocin is our most major hormone, and that is the hormone of love, bonding, and connection. And for me, that is the spice of life. That's where we enjoy life, where we've lived, right? Where we've enjoyed each other. We have relationships. My cousin Grace, who's helping me out there today, she said this morning, she goes, there's an old Arabic proverb that said something, your work will not take care of you when you get old. Your family will, right? The people you've loved and nurtured and surround yourself with will. So to remember that. All right. DHEA, you've learned this already, produced by the adrenal glands that sit above the kidney. Very important, right? They're also precursors to estrogen and testosterone. DHEA is an adrenal hormone and very safe hormone. There's no black box warnings on DHEA. And this has been around for, I mean, it's been over the counter in the U.S. for years. We've known the ability and benefits of DHEA for the bones, the brain, the breast, all protective. So healthy levels of DHEA are important, and we don't see any negative side effects in healthy physiologic levels, right? So what was interesting for me when I was in medical practice and I'm working with, you know, incontinence, vaginal dryness, sexual health issues, what can we do that's fine for the female, especially in sexual health, you know, and for the male, their sexual partner, that we can use vaginally and help with that? And what were ways? So I started looking at, and then topical ways, creating a topical over-the-counter way that we could use DHEA safely and improve vaginal and vulvar health safely. So this research looked at DHEA on libido, and it said by local action in the vagina, DHEA applied daily at doses at which serum steroids remain well within normal postmenopausal values exerts relatively potent beneficial effects on all four aspects of sexual dysfunction. Such data indicate that combined androgenic-estrogenic stimulation of the three levels of the vagina exerts important beneficial effects on sexual function in women without systemic action on the brain and other extravaginal tissues. So local treatment, very safe. Additionally, well, let's look at clients and, you know, what's the risk of DHEA and breast cancer? And we have more clinical trials coming out actually in breast cancer patients using intravaginal DHEA prescription formulas that have been very, very positive. So this showed that in a series of animal models, androgens and DHEA have been found to inhibit breast cancer development and growth and to stimulate bone formation. So all these women who have had breast cancer that you see that have been told, well, you can't even have vaginal estrogen. Sorry about your incontinence. Sorry about your hot flashes. Sorry about your vaginal dryness. Sorry you can't have sex or relationship. Sorry about your divorce. Sorry about, you know, whatever. Why aren't we using DHEA in these patients? You absolutely can. You absolutely can in a holistic model. So, and additionally, in clinical studies, DHEA has been found to increase bone mineral density and to stimulate vaginal maturation without affecting the endometrium while improving well-being and libido with no significant side effects. Beautiful. That's huge. This research continues to stand strong. So, furthermore, the inhibitory effect of DHEA on the growth of human breast cancer xenografts in vivo in nude mice support the beneficial use of DHEA as hormone replacement therapy in women. Now my colleagues at ACOG are talking about this. I've been doing this for over a decade. So this is really important research. Now, what else? What about sexual dysfunction in postmenopausal breast cancer patients taking adjuvant aromatase inhibitor therapy? So with patients with estrogen-dependent breast cancer, notably those receiving anti-estrogenic adjuvant therapies and severely symptomatic vaginal atrophy that fails to respond to non-hormonal options, menopausal hormone replacement or prescription vaginal estrogen therapy may be considered. So this is research from our oncology journals in 2007. So even in this case, vaginal estrogen in patients with breast cancer is fine. Vaginal DHEA is even safer. So something to consider in patients. Or vulvar topical cream is important. So again, because we worry in medicine so much about estrogen in these breast cancer patients, the research doesn't corroborate that. The research with vaginal hormones doesn't corroborate that. So in 1999, when I put my client who'd had DCIS on vaginal estrogen based on the research that I was aware of at that time, that was perfectly fine. That improved her quality of life and probably her longevity. So, but not to forget how important it is, the nutritional aspects, right? Because hormones are one thing, but if you're eating drive-through every day, that's not someone I'm going to give hormones to, right? We have to consider a healthy Mediterranean diet. Eat what Rita Marie tells you to eat. I want to. I do. After my burger. All right, no. Mediterranean diet and whatever Rita Marie tells you. All right. And then again, gynecologic endocrinology in 2010 looked at natural hormone therapy for menopause. This was published in our peer-reviewed journals as a FACOG fellow of the American College of OBGYN. So this is good, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. We're looking at the differences, and this is good. So the fear model has to go away. the reason there's a fear model is because we use compounding pharmacies, and we can customize with our, you know, artistic model of medicine, individual patient routines. And that's threatening to big pharma and organizations. I hate to say that, but it's true. I wish it wasn't true, and hopefully it will change. But more physicians, more people, more advocates for your own health coming to us, coming to your physician, saying, I want a better way. And look, I just gave you tons of research you can give your providers to. So I want to share this story about Mary Ann, because this woman is so near and dear to my heart. This is Mary Ann, who was a breast cancer survivor. And she came to my practice in 2011. She was 120 pounds overweight, and she just was chronic pain, no energy, actually wouldn't get off the couch. She told me that, you know, I wish my husband will just find another woman to make him happy. We haven't had sex since before my cancer diagnosis. And, you know, I just, you know, I'm on the couch. I don't live. I just feel like I want to die. And that's how her husband drug her in to see me. He loved her. But here, look at this picture. A picture says 1,000 words, right? Look at this picture. She is opening a present. Is she happy? Do you see joy? She's opening a present. Give me a present. I want that present. I will be happy. So give me that. You know, but that just shows you. Misery, right? Disease-causing misery. She had the cancer diagnosis, would go back to her oncologist every 6 months. You don't have cancer again yet. She did have recurrent cancer. So, and then, you know, the next thing was, well, you know, caused it, the estrogen dominance, candida, inflammation, adrenal fatigue, right? What were the underlying causes? Well, then that led to a hysterectomy, then the chronic pain, then the fibromyalgia, right? So where was her question? She's a survivor. Well, let's look. Let's get to the program. And seriously, you know, what Rita Marie teaches you about nutrition, that's key. Put her on an anti-candida program. So very carbohydrate restricted. And I put her on essential fatty acids. I use natural regimens with her. And then, but this is really key. As a physician, we're taught that 90% of our diagnosis is based on history and physical. Yes, we want labs, but 90% is based on our clinical intuition. And then we're told by pharma and insurance companies not to trust it, right? Oh, that's another story, sorry. So in healing, 90% of the cure is through therapeutic lifestyle changes. We make the, you make these changes, and 90% of the, and I only say 90%, probably 99.99%, but I have an ego, I am a physician, and I'm claiming 10% that I have a part of your healing in. Phew, I get 10%. So really, it's all 100% of you. Okay, 10%. So Mary Ann's surgery, this is before, right? Opening the present. And then in 11 months, less than 11 months, she'd lost 120 pounds. She rode bike ride across Georgia, not able to get off the couch, 100 miles across Georgia. What she wanted was to dance at her daughter's wedding. Again, she had recurrent metastatic breast cancer. She wanted to dance at her daughter's wedding. She was diagnosed and, you know, 40 when she was diagnosed. 2004, 2007, so, yeah. So, this is her and Jimmy. Jimmy also got into shape. He was getting buff. Yes, he had to keep up with her. She was initiating sex over half the time now. Mm-hmm. They actually celebrated their 30th wedding anniversary. What Jimmy said to me, he goes, Dr. Anna, you put the twinkle back in my bride's eye. Now, Mary Ann and Jimmy got to dance at their daughter's wedding. She did not get to see the birth of her first grandbaby. But what she and Jimmy told me is that she had her last 5 years of her life were the best 5 years of her life. She was thriving. It is an awesome story. Awesome story. So that's what we want to give back. We're not, you know, like I said, God has the number of our days. We can choose as to the best of our ability, the quality of those days. And no matter how bad off we are, right, we can recover that. We can transition. You saw Mary Ann. And Mary Ann can do it from Middle Georgia, where they have amazing cornbread. I am telling you. Oh, my gosh. If she could do it, we can do it, right? All right, so hormones do help more than hot flashes, and, you know, the research. As physicians, I always say we got to, you know, add things to my our toolboxes. My toolbox contains, it's a heavy doctor's bag now. And that's, I'm so passionate about teaching it. Like Rita Marie, there's no holding back. We give you our best of our best. And that men and women are different. We do things differently. We should not be treated as the same scientific model. We feel differently. We're affected erogenously in different ways. Women are more complicated, but you know that. Am I right? All right. And we want to have love and bonding as the quality of our life. We want to increase our oxytocin, the most important, powerful hormones in our body. We want to live with love. We want to live life with love. We want to have that connection. We want to restore the relationship, revive it, respect it, look for it. I was talking with my cousin today about St. Ignatian philosophy, the daily examine, where we look at our day and say, well, where did I see God in that person today? Where could I have been more godlike today? Or where could I have been more loving today? Where did I see love in that person today? Where could I have been more loving today? And that daily checklist really starts, what you focus on expands. You start to be more loving. You start to be more giving. You start to be more generous. And you still have healthy boundaries. But it's those key aspects that I think want to bring into our relationships, so that oxytocin wins over cortisol, that we benefit from it all, and I provide tons of research, and that Monday morning you're able to discuss vaginal changes with your clients, because that could be the reason that they have issues, or they're having incontinent issues or dryness or pain when you have sex. If you have pain every time you have sex, why would you want to have sex? So addressing that, considering topical formulas, prescribers prescribing vaginal formulas, those are only via prescription. And considering oxytocin, what can we do to increase oxytocin in our life? Love more, play more, you know, do more, you know, so playing with animals, we know, improves our life. Getting out and enjoying your hobbies improves our life. So non-hormonal treatments for vaginal dryness, coconut oil, Ayurvedic ghee, don't forget about using probiotics orally, intravaginally to help restore your body, looking at nutrients to decrease inflammation, support cell membrane integrity and function, and adrenal health, and supplement nutritionally. Again, when I use vitamin D, progesterone, and pregnenolone, we use that in a compounded cream, a cream form over the counter, and then Jolvis, DHEA, over the counter. And then just using ingredients that don't just affect one pathway, that really work to get the body in balance. We want a good night's sleep, to see sunrise, see sunset. Turn our electronics off by sunset, really. And then think about how we speak. How are we talking? And, you know, how are we addressing people? Are we using positive verbiage? Or are we on the negative? Is it, you know, do we accept compliments or do we refute them? How are we addressing our life? And then deep breathing for cortisol, just checking in with your body, feeling what your symptoms are. And this is one of my mantras, is pause, breathe, smile, and connect. And so look in someone's eyes and connect and really get to feel other people. And then bottom line is that my vagina is beautiful. No, this is not my back. I wish it was. So we should all be so proud, right? Because the vagina is essential for life. Now, what I've given you all is my complete ebook. This is just for you in this room. And it's my All Things V, the ultimate woman's guide to feeling happier and healthier down there. The All Things V, you can guess what that stands for. And you can text ebook to this number and you'll get the free download. So this is just for you guys in the room. So text the word ebook to 912-330-6353 and you get my complete ebook. And it's a beautiful 176-page book of all things that you want to know, everything I want women to know. So in a very easy way to read it. So I thank you guys for having me. I know I ran a little bit over. I appreciate it. And grateful to be here. Thank you.
And funny, and oh, you're so wonderful. Thank you.
Oh. Go visit Anna on the break. She'll be out somewhere in the out there, and she has her Jolva. Because I wanted you to mention before you go off that you were talking a lot about having to have prescription for these things. So I just wanted you to mention a little bit about why you created Jolva. Because of that, you have that.
So Jolva, because as you know, when I retired my clinical practice, you know, my clients could no longer get their prescriber to write some of the vaginal or bioidentical creams that I was using. So I'm like, gosh, but DHEA is over the counter. What can we do? And I'm like, well, that alone is okay, but we need it to absorb and to really promote health. And so I combined, so I went to the research, I went to my research, and I looked, what can we do, you know, in cosmetic cream to create a very incredible vulvar therapy that, number one, I don't want to put suppositories and creams in my vagina, you know, so I want to create something easy that women could use and feel comfortable using. And so, you know, birth Jolva, I use plant stem cells from the Alpine rose, which is this beautiful rose that blossoms in the ice and snow in the Swiss Alps. And it's been studied for its cosmetic, you know, its anti-aging properties. And I'm like, oh yeah, we want that in our product. And then I researched it and I worked with it and I worked with my formula. Plus how we put the ingredients together, it's patent pending formula with the emu oil, the shea butter, the coconut butter, smells good, tastes good, fine. If your partner gets exposed to it, you can use it as part of foreplay. And it just goes on and absorbs really quickly. And you can use it from the clitoris down to the anus. Women deal with fissures, you know, hemorrhoids and all these issues, and we don't have good solutions. This is an option, we call it the anti-aging cream for the vulva, but it does, you know, it's that, those benefits about helping the tissue restore. And we've had beautiful testimonials. Read our testimonials pages at jolva.com. You'll see the information there. And so this way, an over-the-counter option for people to be able to use this and not have the barriers. And again, very, very, you know, very, very good, very safe, and good therapeutic option for y'all. So
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Woo-hoo. And you all have a sample of it in your bags. There's a sample of Jolva in there. So we're going to take a break for lunch. Thank you all for your attention this morning. For those of you who are in current NEPT, so you have NEPT on your little label thing, or have just joined, have your pretty little necklace around your named badge, join us in the Robertson A and B room. And we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to have a training in there. For those of you who are not, you might be able to twist to Scott's arm if you're still on the fence and want to get in. I don't know how that works for lunch, but you can talk to him. For those, so that'll be at 2:00. We're coming back here. So what time are we really coming back here? If we want to dance and then do a raffle, 10 till. Okay, so 1:50. Sorry, 1:50. Back in this room, and I have an amazing training to take you through a step-by-step process for putting this stuff into action. All right, we'll see you then. And if you have still want to do a donation, we're still accepting them, and you'll get more raffle tickets. The raffle will be after the session this afternoon. Thank you.